Our next conversation today is with Boulder District Attorney Michael Dougherty. He is one of four Democrats running for the Democratic nomination for Colorado Attorney General. He's agreed to appear and take questions along with David Seligman and Hal Doshi. Secretary of State Jenna Griswold, the fourth Democratic candidate for AG, has declined to appear on 9 News or take questions. Michael Dougherty, thank you for your time. I appreciate it very much.
Kyle, thank you so much for having me on. I was really looking forward to this discussion and answering any questions you have for me.
So there is a lot within the potential portfolio of an attorney general. What would you make your number one priority as AG?
Right now, it's protecting our democracy. When I look at a lawless Trump administration coming after Colorado in particular, the next attorney general has to have experience as a lawyer and a proven track record of standing up and fighting for justice and the rule of law. And that's the kind of work I've done, as you know, my entire career. And I've also been a leader of large law offices and just deciding what fights to take on and how to win those fights. So it has to be about protecting our democracy, protecting our elections. But long term, it's about water and environment, public safety, consumer protection, and the list goes on. The Attorney General's office touches the lives of everyday Coloradans all the time. And I know that having worked at the AG's office as both a prosecutor and a leader there, and that's why I'm ready to hit the ground running on day one.
When you talk about the idea of protecting our democracy, that suggests taking on President Donald Trump and the federal government. That also happens to be a very popular thing to say to Democrats these days, right? You can make a name for yourself opposing Donald Trump. Jenna Griswold's done it on MSNBC. Phil Weiser has done it with a number of lawsuits against the president. How do you convince Coloradans who don't necessarily share your political views that those are worthy fights?
Well, it's about standing up and fighting for Colorado. And throughout my career, I've always done it with integrity. And that's what the next attorney general has to do. And it's not about seeking to get my face on MSNBC. It's about standing up in court and saying, I'm here on behalf of the people of Colorado and doing it with integrity, never based on political ambition or a hyperpartisan agenda. And there are times where Trump has just violated the rule of law and harmed Colorado. And that'll always be the criteria I use in deciding when to take Trump to court. And to me, it's about beating Trump in the court of law, not tweeting at him in the court of opinion. And that's where having the experience to say we have enough evidence to go forward, here's how we're going to win these fights, that's absolutely critical. Because to your point, we lose the confidence and trust of the people we serve if we're taking Trump to court just to make a point. It has to be done well, it has to be done right, and it has to be done with the win.
And that's certainly what critics accuse Attorney General Phil Weiser of doing, of just stacking up or joining a bunch of lawsuits to make a political point against Trump. When you look at his 65 or so suits, do you feel like they're well-founded, that Colorado should be in those fights? Do you see missed opportunities?
I don't see missed opportunities. I certainly see Phil Weiser using discretion. The Democratic attorneys general from around the country have brought far more lawsuits than the 65 or so that Phil Weiser and his team have brought. So I do see them using a process to go through, and from talking with Phil Weiser, I know this is true, to go through those cases and deciding what cases to join. I think the alliances and partnerships with fellow attorneys general from around the country are really important. It obviously can't fall to any one office. It shouldn't be just the Colorado Attorney General's office standing up and fighting in all these different battles. That's why I've been in contact with the Democratic Attorneys General Association, but also attorneys general from other states to make sure I have those partnerships in place on day one. It's about standing up and fighting for Colorado and making sure we're using our resources and priorities appropriately because of how much other work the AG's office has to do. I'll give you a good example where I think Phil Weiser did the right thing on birthright citizenship. Where on the same day Trump took the oath of office to uphold the Constitution, he issued an order revoking birthright citizenship. That is plainly unconstitutional. The U.S. Constitution conveys birthright citizenship on anybody born in this country. And if there was any doubt about that, the U.S. Supreme Court reaffirmed it in 1898. That case is now pending before the U.S. Supreme Court. I've joined a brief along with other prosecutors from around the country in support of the effort to make sure birthright citizenship remains in place. The only thing that stopped thousands of people from being deported based on that order was the role of the Attorney General in stepping up and doing the right thing. And right now, the Attorney General is on the front lines of defending the rule of law. Because quite frankly, from my perspective, Congress is basically dysfunctional. And they're no longer acting as a check on the White House. So it's incumbent upon the rule of law and the Attorney General to stand up and fight for what's right.
How do you balance the legal judgments involved in that and just the political realities of situations?
That's where, having served as an elected district attorney since 2018, that experience has made me realize just firsthand how important it is to always do that. It's why I've been able to successfully prosecute police officers and elected officials, including fellow Democrats. Because when you do injustice, it's without fear and without favor, and no one is above the law, ever. So it's about looking at the evidence, looking at the rule of law, and making the right determination, and never letting politics or media or the loudest voice in the community guide you. It's rather going to be guided by the rule of law.
talk about one aspect of your work as a criminal prosecutor.
Sure.
Surveillance camera systems in our communities, Flock cameras specifically. Boulder PD uses them, credits them with reducing auto thefts by 35% or so. How have you used mass surveillance as a prosecutor?
So it certainly has come up in our cases, not just on traffic enforcement, but also we've been able to solve homicides as a result. For example, there was a murder that was committed by a number of people coming out of Fort Morgan, and they came to Boulder County simply to, and forgive me for the language, dump the woman's body on Flagstaff because they thought they could get away with it. They had no connection to Boulder County. The one connection was they were captured on a traffic camera coming down off of Flagstaff Mountain. And as a result, the sheriff's office, and we have a strong working relationship with law enforcement in Boulder County, they did an incredible job with our team investigating that case. We prosecuted the murder case, and all of them were held fully accountable, all four of the people involved in the murder of that young woman. But we can never sacrifice privacy and constitutional rights in the name of public safety. That's a slippery slope. So when it comes to Flock cameras, I'm united with the Boulder Police Chief and the Boulder County Sheriff in saying ICE should not be able to access the Flock system to target immigrants or for law enforcement generally to target anybody outside of what's appropriate. So that's why I think we need to put more controls in place and make sure mass surveillance is not being used and violating people's privacy rights or their constitutional rights.
Democrats tried and failed in part because their coalition splintered over the idea of requiring judicial warrants for access to Flock surveillance camera footage just in the last legislative session. Where were you on that bill?
So I agree with what I've just stated, which is that Flock cameras should not be used by ICE to target immigrants. I think the bill went too far in requiring law enforcement to get warrants to access information they already had. So it was trying to capture every type of camera that law enforcement has access to and requiring them to get warrants for that. I think that's something that can and should, and as Attorney General, I promise you, will be worked out in the future.
What does a better compromise look like?
A better compromise, for example, would be a camera system that's run solely by the law enforcement agency, that they have it locked down, that how they run that system is transparent with the community, that the community is aware of what the cameras are being used for, and that it's used for traffic enforcement or serious criminal violations, but not for anything related to ICE and nothing related to violating people's privacy rights.
In the AG's office, you wouldn't be prosecuting street crime as you are now. You'd have other tools available to you. And how would you use them to reduce crime in Colorado?
So to me, public safety has to be more of a priority for the state. And it will be as Attorney General. We can do that in a number of ways. The Attorney General is responsible for all the training for law enforcement statewide. So if you join in the La Plata County Sheriff's Office or the Denver PD, the training all comes from the Attorney General. And the Attorney General is the chief law enforcement officer of the state. And that's why experience as a prosecutor who's fought for justice and worked with law enforcement matters. But also, the Attorney General has jurisdiction over any crime that crosses county lines. So human trafficking, drug distribution, murder cases that cross county lines, the Attorney General could play a key role in that. In fact, I'll share with you that when I was the head of the criminal justice section for the Attorney General's office as Deputy Attorney General, I supervised a team that I'm going to bring back on day one. And it was a team that would travel the state and provide assistance to jurisdictions, usually smaller, non-metro jurisdictions that don't have the resources, expertise, or experience to handle cases that are particularly serious or complex. That team used to travel the state. Over the last 5 years, Kyle, the Boulder County District Attorney's Office, in addition to taking care of business in Boulder County, we've been handling cases all around the state of Colorado. I lived in La Plata County for the month of July and tried a cold case homicide involving a 12-year-old boy. 2 years ago, my team lived down in Salida, prosecuted the domestic violence homicide. Right now, we're assisting in the prosecution of Barry Morphew down in the San Luis Valley. I'm really proud. I work with an amazing team, and I'm really grateful to them for the work they do in helping jurisdictions that are struggling that call me and call us for help. That has to be the Attorney General's office going forward, and I know Phil Weiser's taken steps to put that back in place. It's going to be a priority for me day one to make it happen.
I was going to ask you how that differs from the assistance provided by CBI, but it sounds like CBI is more on the front end of cases, and then you were coming on for the prosecution.
Correct.
Okay.
The other,
go ahead, please.
The other piece on public safety, mm-hmm. where the Attorney General can play a key role, is also assisting local jurisdictions in handling cases involving conspiracies. So, for example, if you were to look on the internet tonight and Google Boulder County District Attorney's Office major crime ring, you would see how many crime rings we've brought down in the last few years. The 400 attorneys at the AG's office under my direction and leadership will be playing that key role with local jurisdictions because so many of the auto thefts we have, property thefts, those are done by crime rings that are operating throughout different jurisdictions, and the AG's office can, should, and I promise you will play a major role in bringing those to justice.
Are there any laws currently on the books in Colorado that you would decline to defend as Attorney General?
declined to defend? No. It's my job to defend the Constitution of the state and to be vocal and active in ensuring the legislature does not pass laws that are unconstitutional. So if you have a specific example, I'm happy to answer it. But none come to mind that are blatantly unconstitutional. I think Phil Weiser and the legislature would have already been outspoken about it.
Does it matter if Colorado's next attorney general has courtroom experience? You have it. David Seligman has it. Harold Doshi has it. Jenna Griswold doesn't have it. Does it matter?
It does matter. I think more than anything, courtroom experience matters, but also legal experience matters. You did a show where you highlighted that the Secretary of State has never handled a case, a single case, in the state of Colorado. I think that matters. The Attorney General's office has 724 public servants who choose to work there. They could be making so much more in the private sector. They choose to serve communities throughout Colorado because they believe in the leadership and mission of the office. Look at the U.S. Justice Department and how many people, prosecutors and staff, have fled the Justice Department in the last year and a half. We can't afford that exodus with the Attorney General's office. I'm really heartened to have the support of people working within the Attorney General's office currently. They put themselves at risk doing that. But having been a leader in that office and knowing how important that office is, we have to retain high-level staff who are committed to doing the right thing. To inspire them and lead them takes experience. So I, as an elected district attorney, Kyle, still handle cases myself. Because I've always believed if you're going to be a leader, you should be able to do the work you ask of others. So the last case I tried was just this past December. It was a fire department captain who sexually assaulted five women working within the fire department, including a 17-year-old intern. That's what it means to fight for justice. I just finished the Pearl Street firebombing case, and I handled that case myself because of the horrific nature of it. It was an anti-Semitic act of terror and hate, and there were 29 victims in that case, including Karen Diamond, who at 82 years old, a beloved grandmother, mom, and wife, was killed brutally by being set on fire. I handled that case myself because as a leader, you have to be able to step up and fight for what's right and do justice. But even within my office, it's about being able to help staff, inspire staff, and help them make the decisions on what's the right thing to do. So if we're thinking about suing Donald Trump, that decision has to be made by the Attorney General, not delegated. And to me, if you're taking Donald Trump and his team of attorneys to court, it cannot be your first time ever walking into a courtroom.
Jenna Griswold falsely claimed that she argued before the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. Is that a matter of semantics? Is that a disqualifying bit of dishonesty? Is it somewhere in between? Where do you put that on the scale?
I think it's a matter of integrity, Kyle, and I think integrity matters, especially in the role of the Attorney General. The Attorney General is the people's lawyer, the top lawyer for the state of Colorado. And if a candidate felt as though their resume was lacking, the last thing they should do is fill that gap with something that's not entirely truthful. If someone applied for a job with Nine News, and they worked at CBS previously, and it turned out to be false, I imagine you'd have a reaction of concern. I think that's, quite frankly and respectfully, what the people of Colorado should have. The Secretary of State has just had a different path, and I respect that. And she's administered elections, and I respect that. This is to be the top lawyer for the people of Colorado, and when we're exaggerating our experience, that should certainly matter to you, me, and voters throughout this state. And I can promise you I'm always going to be honest and direct with the voters of Colorado. That's how I've operated as district attorney, and I've been reelected twice, and there's a reason for that, because I always fight for justice, but I'll do it with integrity.
Is Jenna Griswold qualified to be Attorney General?
No, not at this moment. And I say that for a couple reasons. First, for the reason you just highlighted and what you highlighted on your show previously, that she's never once handled a case in the state of Colorado. The Attorney General has an incredibly important responsibility of leading a large public law office. And lacking experience in each of those things, including the challenges with integrity, I think are incredibly concerning from my perspective. And as you're aware, she's declined to attend 12 of the last 14 candidate debates and forums. And quite frankly, if you can't show up to debate Michael Dougherty and answer questions from the Colorado Sun, how can we count on you to take on Donald Trump? This job's too important for anything less.
You also understand how math works. And while you and David Seligman and Harold Doshi have raised concerns about Jenna Griswold's qualifications to be Attorney General, you also know that the fact that all three of you are in this race practically guarantees that she's going to be the next Attorney General. Are you all putting your own personal ambition over the state having a qualified Attorney General?
No.
Why not?
Well, because I'll always put the best interest of Colorado first. I've been a public servant, a lawyer, and a leader for my entire career. You say it's practically certain, I respectfully disagree. And if I thought it was practically certain, I wouldn't be sitting here with you right now. I see the momentum we have all around the state of Colorado. The endorsements from the Durango Herald, the Denver Post, Colorado Ceasefire, former Senator Rhonda Fields, Representative Joe Salazar, all of those coming in now, to me, reflect the momentum we have. Why do we have the momentum? Because people recognize we're living through an incredibly scary and difficult time for our country. We are living through a time of crisis. And people want to know that the top lawyer for the state of Colorado has the experience to win the fights and lead us through the crisis. And that's what I've done time and time and time again. So the Marshall Fire investigation, the King Soopers mass murder, the Pearl Street firebombing, I've been called upon to lead through times of crisis in the past. And I've done that by turning to the courts and to the rule of law and justice. And I've done it over and over and over again. Experience doesn't win every election. It should win this election. There's too much at stake. So the reason we have all the momentum we do is people realize that we're living through a crisis in this country. That's also why I have strong bipartisan support. And I'm the only candidate, I think, in any race that could say that, Kyle. I have strong bipartisan support from Republican district attorneys and Republican sheriffs who would disagree with me on a host of issues, including who should be in the White House. But they know when I take that person in the White House to court and I win those fights, I'm doing it because it's what integrity requires and what Colorado needs, not because I'm trying to get my face on MSNBC.
Michael Dougherty, thank you for your time. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Kyle.